All right, wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessing again be with you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Father, for coming and living among us, Father, and sending your Son, Lord, to live this life, Father, and to give himself for us, Lord, to set us free from sin, death, and hell, Father. We just thank you again for all that you do. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom as we open your word, Lord. Help us to apply this to our lives. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Appreciate what was shared this morning. And the music, the songs. Let's begin in verse 24. It says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I like to refer back to the words of Jesus whenever we talk about salvation. That's what the disciples did. That's what the early church did. That's what people that have been faithful throughout history. You know, I've gotten in trouble before because I told people that if there's a question between what Jesus said and what it says and what Paul said, and I don't understand, I'm going to go with what Jesus said first. And it's amazing how when you just take what Jesus says, you begin to understand the other disciples. But if you start trying to take what the other disciples say and fit it into what Jesus said, you come up all wrong. I think that's where the people that talk about all the grace and they use the Romans Road. Remember, somebody asked me a few years ago about the Romans Road. It's very simple. The Romans Road leads to Rome. It doesn't lead to Christ. The words that Jesus spoke are life. And that's where, whenever we understand and hear his words, then we can see what Brother Paul meant whenever he talked about grace and some of those things that people build doctrines on, and you have to discount what Jesus said. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. We're told a lot of times that because that doesn't fit with doctrine, if we try to deny ourselves or we try to do anything, we're working for our salvation. Obeying God is not a work that pleases God. Work that, whenever we try most work, that people, whenever the Bible condemns work, it's when we try to do something other than listen to God. That's whenever we're trying, you know, if we look at the Pharisees and religious people throughout history, they're trying to impress God by their trappings or the way they live or something, instead of hearing what he has to say to each individual, and they disregard what he actually has to say. If any man wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. You know, I know that maybe initially, whenever we first realize our condition, our goal to be saved is to be saved. And so our drive or our thought even to come to God is to save ourselves, to get something out of this for ourselves. And many times, you know, there's a lot of people that make decisions, and it's based on preserving ourselves. But the very thing Jesus talked about is, if any man comes after me, he has to deny himself. And a lot of people, like I said, they seek to be saved. And I've told it before that I went to the altar, I don't know how many times, whenever a preacher would preach about being saved, and I would come to the front and I would ask Jesus to save me, and I wanted to be saved. The goal was, I didn't want to go to hell. I was trying to save myself. And that's what it was all about. But Jesus lays it out that if any man's going to follow me, he has to deny himself. I've told you, often tell it maybe just one day I've been praying and wanting to be saved, and I finally realized that I deserve to go to hell, and that God is worthy to be served whether I go to heaven or whether I go to hell or not. And he's worthy to be served. And whenever I came to that point, I denied what I wanted out of this. I denied myself and decided that he was worthy to be served. And whatever happened to me, I deserved it. And whenever I gave up on myself is whenever I found that who he is. You see, whenever we try so hard for something, we seek so hard for something, it's a little like the carrot and the donkey. You've got the carrot out there on a stick above the donkey, and the donkey's trying to race ahead, and he starts running, trying to catch that carrot. And as he goes forward, the carrot goes forward, and he never gets to it. And that's the way most people live their lives, pursuing something. And here, in this case, it's salvation. So people chase after salvation, but they never quite get there because they're trying to save themselves. Jesus said, if any man comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25 explains it a little better. It says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, this is a truth that when we understand this, it goes through many aspects of our lives. You know, it comes down to who we're going to trust or who we love. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. You know, many times we have people that are trying to be happy. We talk about being happy. The only thing we can control in our lives is our attitudes. We can choose to be happy. But a lot of times people pursue happiness. The whole world's chasing after happiness, wanting to be happy. So they think, if I can just get this goal, or if I can do that thing, or if I can get this goal, or if I can go have this fun, I'll be happy. And they just chase their tail round and round trying to be happy, and guess what? They wind up miserable. People try to drown their troubles so they can be happy. They can feel good. They just want to feel good and be happy. So they do all kinds of things to make themselves happy, and they never get there. That's this principle in action. They might smile for a little while, and it might be happy for a moment, but they're not truly happy. They're not content. We lose ourselves. You know, most people think that if others will treat me right, then I'll be happy. And so we're waiting on other people to make us happy. It will never happen. What happens is whenever I'm not happy, I begin to focus on all the things that are making me unhappy. And guess what? That just gets worse and worse and worse. Darker and darker and darker. It's self-fulfilling. Once we start in those dark places, we just start piling it on, feeding it. And it's all about us. It's all about ourself. So we forget that we're not here just to serve ourselves, but we're here to serve somebody else, others. First of all, the Lord, and then one another. And, you know, sometimes it's inconvenient whenever people are needing help. They just need to talk. They've got a problem. They need for me to come and help them, or you, whatever. They need someone to help. And, you know, so you quit what you're doing and go help someone else. And you go do something for someone else. And it seems like, well, can't get anything done. I can't do my thing. And so we lose ourselves in someone else's problems. And guess what? There's kind of a joy there. And there's kind of a happiness there. So here I am trying to make myself happy by doing what I want and doing my way and doing keeping all my little ducks in a row and everything just so-so. And then I get interrupted and have to go help somebody else and help straighten out their life and help. And instead of it making me sad because my ducks are in a row, I become happy. It just, if you lose your life, you'll find it. We've got to lose our lives. That song we sang, all I... we just wrote one part of it down. All I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, wants, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. You know, that's where the cross is. Whenever we can live our lives where my wants, my ambitions, my hopes, my dreams, my thoughts, of life can be completely taken away. And all we can say is, I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. There's where happiness is. If you lose your life, you'll find it. You know, I had plans for my life. I had big ambitions and big dreams. I was going to be somebody. And then the Lord came calling. He said, lay all that down. And I didn't want to lay it down because that was my life. But I did. Because His ambitions, plans, and wishes are bigger than mine and much more important than mine. And I began following the Lord. Guess what? I had plans again. I'm going to follow the Lord and I'm going to raise my family to follow the Lord. And I'm going to teach them. And I'm going to give my children to Jesus and let Him have them. He can just do whatever He wants with them. My wife didn't want that. Didn't want that from her children. Took them, turned them away. And once again, my ambitions, plans, and wishes at His feet in ashes lay. You see, that's where, and I'm fine with that. It breaks my heart, and I've cried a million tears. But I want His will, not mine. You know, my children, when I had them, they'd get scared when a tornado or a storm came up. And I would tell them, you know, I'd rather be right in the middle of a tornado doing the Lord's will than on some nice, sunny, perfect little beach somewhere out of the Lord's will. You see, safety and those things that are on the outside. But I want the Lord's will. We don't like maybe some of the things that happen to us. Some of the things we go through. And so we spend our lives trying to fix all those problems instead of getting to the real heart of the problem. Giving it to the Lord. This is so simple and so basic. If we just get a hold of this, just a little bit, it'll transform our lives. People are scared to death. We're afraid. Fear grips us. This could happen, that could happen, this, that, whatever. You can just chase your tail 1,000 ways in fear. Or you can say, Lord, this life, this body is Yours. And if You choose for me to go through whatever, I'll go through it. We try to find remedies and try to fix it and try and try and try and all God really wants us to do is say, just trust me. Just trust me. You know, there's a story of a woman, a famous woman, during a war, that when she got to be, I don't know how old it is, she had been scared all of her life that she was going to die. Something was going to kill her. She was sick of this. She was sick with that. She was sick with this. And the war started. And she got called up to be a nurse. She volunteered to be a nurse in the war. And she just devoted herself to helping people. taking care of other people, just devoted herself to it. And for 2 years or so, that's all she did. I don't know what she was thinking, but there wasn't much about worried about whether she was going to die or not. That woman's name was Florence Nightingale. You've probably heard of her. After the war, she was 20. She went home, and she was paralyzed with fear that she was going to die, and lived her life terrified that she was going to die. She was going to catch some disease. She had this, she had that. Just went to the doctors constantly. And she did finally die. 90-some years old, her heart quit. But she spent most of her life paralyzed in fear. You know, I'd rather live going to die than be scared to death and not live. Because we're going to die anyway. And if we'll get to trust in the Lord while we're living, it doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter how sick we are. It doesn't matter what disease I might get. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live. Because living in fear is no way to live. Remind you, like I've said before, fear does not come from God. It is the devil's weapon to keep you crippled or kill you so that you do not live life. If you're making decisions based on fear, I'll guarantee you you're making wrong decisions. Because that is not from a sound mind. If any man wants to come after me, he's got to deny himself. There's people that are scared to death to live because they're afraid they might make a mistake. People are scared to death. They're afraid of God. So they live strict religious lives. Religion, strict religion out of fear is not Christ-like. It's not the way God operates. It's a deterrent for living wickedly. And it should be. The Bible tells us to remember Sodom and some of those things and how God judged them. It's a deterrent for evil. But once we see the real God and who He really is, we're not afraid anymore. We can reflect who He is. There's a verse in John that says we loved Him because He first loved us. You and I reflect who we serve. And if we see God, the only love in this world is because someone still sees God. The light that is in the world comes from us being a reflection of knowing Him. And I think a lot of times the people don't love because they never tasted it themselves. People can't show mercy because they've never tasted it themselves. They can't forgive because they've not been forgiven themselves. I think that's, a lot of times religious people are very strict. If we don't have love, mercy, forgiveness, I don't care if you never sin in your own mind or whatever, you don't have a thing. I think a lot of times, I heard a quote that, and it was kind of a, didn't even belong really where I heard it, but this old man or something said that most people look at others because they're scoundrels in their own hearts. And I've kind of compromised that a little bit, or I've took that thought. Wicked men judge others by their own weaknesses. Wicked men judge others by their own weaknesses. You know, I think that's, the Bible bears that out. You know, O thou man, who art thou, O man, that judgest another? You know, a lot of times when we condemn people, it's because we see enough of them in us that we hate what we see in them. And the reason we hate it so bad is because it's really close to home to us. And so we get harsh and we get strict and we get, because we know how bad it is. Wicked men judge others by their own weaknesses. But someone who's seen themselves, someone who knows what they're made of, and knows how much mercy they need, they can reflect the mercy they've tasted. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What are you trying to save today? What are you trying to hold on to? Well, they did me wrong. Well, I just want to feel good. I just want to be happy. What are you trying to hold on to? Having faith and trusting God is nothing more than just saying, God, here I am. Take me. I'll do whatever you, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll stay where you want me to stay. I'll be what you want me to be. Jesus himself, the night before he died, in the garden, had that same struggle. Jesus struggled. He knew tomorrow he was going to be separated from God, be put to death, hang on a cross, have the fight of his life. He said, Father, I don't want to do this. If it's possible, take this from me. Take this cup away. See, it's not a problem to have a struggle with things. The victory came whenever he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He lost his life right there. And guess what? The next morning when they came with their nails and their whips and their crowns, he never murmured a word about it. Salvation is in our will. That's why no man can force it on you. No man can try to tell you how it ought to be. You've got to walk it out yourself. You have to be the one to decide. Will I lose my life? Or will I keep it? May the Lord add His blessings to these words. God bless y'all. Anyone have anything like to share? Praise the Lord.
That's one of the things that challenge you when you look into this life.
Yeah, praise the Lord. All right. Well, God bless y'all. Depart in peace. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. Lord willing, all welcome.